gospel reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to the chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is it to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The second reading comes from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. "I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples."
We'll come back to this in a few months' time and know that we have been here before. The beginning of John's gospel, inviting the reader to walk with the first disciples as they have their initial conversation with Jesus. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And Jesus responds by telling them and inviting them, "Come and see." Again and again through John's telling of good news, Jesus says, if you want to truly experience life, if you want to truly know what this is all about, if you want to know about meaning and purpose, then come and spend time with me. stay with me and learn from me. Don't walk away when the going gets hard. When Jesus says, come and see, it's not an invitation to stand in close proximity to and observe, although that's a good beginning. To come and see is not about being an observer of Jesus' life. We cannot bear fruit if we are not connected to the vine. So that we therefore find ourselves being connected to the vine because we know that this is where life will be experienced. We will have a source for life. Our souls will be nourished. And the heart of our faith has the necessary flow of blood and oxygen to ensure vitality in life and through death. Connected to the vine, we bear fruit. Connected to the vine, and we are with the Father as we are with the Son. Who is with the Father? Fruit bearing branches connected to the vine. And this is a central point. It's being connected to the vine in such a way that we will grow fruit. And growing fruit looks like seeking after and doing the will of the Father. Now, this is a circular pattern of thinking in John's Gospel, and certainly right through John's Gospel. This is how John does it. To do the will of the Father is to be with the Son. That's really quite simple, isn't it? To do the will of the Father is to be with the Son. And to be with the Son is to do the will of the Father. You see where we're going there? If you don't, let me do it again. We'll come back. To be with the Son is to do the will of the Father, and to do the will of the Father is to be with the Son. This then leads to other fruit being borne by the branches. In this text we have from John's Gospel today, this fruit Jesus does not give explicit meaning to what it is and what it looks like. And we want to know, what's this fruit? Tell us. We want to know what it looks like. Tough. You're not going to find out today. You know what it is? Go and walk with Jesus and find out. That's what Jesus says. Come and walk with me and spend time with me and you'll find out what fruit it is. There's no other way to find out what fruit you will bear if you are not connected to Jesus. I mean, you can have your branches as much as you like, but if all they're doing is connected to a chair, they will not grow grapes. Will they, Carol? Not if they're a glory vine either. You're not going to leave that one down very quickly, are you? Everyone's a critic, Joe. But through the rest of the gospel, we read and see that bearing fruit looks like including those who are being excluded. Opening doors of welcome to those who seek a home. Serving the poor through simple acts of charity, kindness and mercy. And as we have just sung, loving the disciples of Jesus as a demonstration that we are disciples of Jesus. If we have no love for one another, we are not bearing fruit. And if we are not loving others who are disciples of Jesus, then we are not bearing fruit. But by loving one another, we are bearing fruit. Disciples of Jesus, in their very nature, by their very description, will grow fruit in God's kingdom because they are able to do one very simple thing, abide with Jesus. Abide, it's an old word, doesn't get used very often in the way that we might hear of it in the text, but abide, meaning to remain with, stay with, live in the company of, dwell beside, walk with, travel the road with, wash the feet of, express hope in, abide, abide. And yes, like the grain of wheat that we read of in John 12, abiding with Jesus will mean we need to fall into the ground of death so that we will bear the fruit of resurrection. Yes, abiding with Jesus is being completely with him, so that we receive from him the fullness of life that he desires for us. Abide with Jesus. Stay with him. Do not simply observe him like a museum artifact, but engage with him. Ask your questions, seek your healing, search him out with a desire to know more of his teaching. I find it astonishing that people say, I don't understand scripture. And I say, well, do you read it? Well, no, because I don't understand it. Well, it's not going to help you. If you don't read, you're not going to understand. A simple place is to read the scripture. I can assure you that if I wanted to understand Bronwyn, I don't remove myself from her as far as possible and say, I don't get it. She might want that. But it's no good to, we need to be seeking to be with, we need to break bread with, we need to listen as Jesus prays. Jesus prays for himself and he prays for his Father and he prays with his Father and he prays for his disciples. So we get to listen in through John's Gospel as Jesus prays with the Father, which is what Jesus does prior to this reading and will do after this reading as he's praying with his Father, and we get to listen in. And their words envelop and enfold you with the rich wisdom of the earth. See, this is to abide with Jesus. And abiding in with him so richly and deeply will mean we will bear the fruit of the kingdom of God. Now, do not be mistaken. The bearing of such fruit does not come without pruning and cleansing. Branches that bear no fruit are removed and thrown into the fire. Such branches prohibit the health and vitality of those other branches which are bearing fruit. And we think, well, that's a bit harsh, Jesus, throwing things into the fire. I mean, you know, they're just branches. Let's not get too carried away. The branches have already disconnected themselves because they've chosen not to bear the fruit that they could bear, because they're saying, we don't want what the vine has to offer. Branches bearing no fruit are nothing more than empty wood attached to a vine from which they are not receiving life and energy. And those branches that do bear fruit, as anyone who prunes their own fruit tree or rose bush or garden shrub will understand, a good pruning, done well for the sake of the tree, bush or shrub, will ensure that next season, the foliage, the fruit, the flower will be just as full of life, if not more so. A good bush needs to be pruned in order for vitality to continue. Therefore, abiding with Jesus and staying with him and remaining with him will not ensure everything will go plainly and simply. Sometimes life is going to be hard. And sometimes your faith will feel like it is stuck, and sometimes you'll wonder whether you're actually connected to the vine at all, or whether the vine's picked up its roots and walked off to another field and left you lying in the paddock where it once was. There will be times when that which seems most precious and important to us will be cut off, and we will think, what on earth is going on here? What if I was bearing fruit yesterday and now that branch is gone? But if we have abided with him, well, we have learned we can take these concerns and questions to the Son and to the Father, and perhaps in time we will see revealed what is their hope for us. And everything has a season. Now, all this seems as if life and energy flows in one direction. That's not true, for as the vine grower tends the vine and the vine provides for the branches also give life. By their fruit, the branches fulfill the purpose of the vine. If it were not for the branches, the vine would not have purpose. Without fruit-bearing branches, the vine itself becomes nothing more than a dried-up piece of wood sticking up from the ground, with no roots in the soil, nothing to draw life and energy. So it's a relationship of interdependence, of mutuality. The Son is in relationship with us as we are in relationship with the Son, and as with the Son and so with the Father, it is an eternal circle of fruitfulness and life. So abide with Jesus and remain with him and stay with him. Come and see with him. Learn with him and learn from him. Be cultivated and shaped and fed and nourished by in the blessing of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the way it happens. Still, some may ask, how are we to abide with him when we cannot see him? How do we remain with him whose presence is spirit and light? How do we learn with him when we cannot determine if it's his voice we hear or the voices of those who will lead us astray, like we heard last week of the hired hands who aren't going to look after the sheep properly? They just come along to sort of muck around and play their games and then nick off the first sign of trouble. How do we know we're not listening to one of them? And they're good and valid questions, which we need to keep at the forefront of our minds. Are we actually listening to the Good Shepherd? Are we? And the answer given is the same as it was at the beginning. Come and see. Come and listen. Come and be with. Like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, sit and read scriptures so that the words are more than black type remaining on the page. So we spend time talking with one another about the questions we have of scripture so that we gain understanding. It's a perfectly logical form of growing in our knowledge and our experience. And sometimes we might think this is only knowledge. I want a relationship with Jesus. Well, this is how it happens. But we read and listen with the others to the entirety of the grand cosmic story of God, from its Genesis breath to the revelations of wonder and mystery. The Ethiopian eunuch starts in Isaiah, and he is some kind of believer because he's come to Jerusalem to worship. So he's reading Isaiah and he says, well, how am I supposed to understand this if no one explains it to me? And that's where Philip starts. Read and listen and see that the story is so much bigger than just a singular figure named Jesus. For Jesus came to call us not only to himself, but to call us into that place where we remain with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for eternity. Read the story and listen to its wisdom. See how God works through the failings and the failures of people, sometimes in spite of failings and failures and fears, and sometimes through them, and sometimes because of them. Read the story and listen to the language of parable. Read the story and listen to the prophets and the poets and the prayers. Read the story and ask the question, how can I understand this without someone to teach me? And be guided by the Spirit to seek out someone who can teach you. And you, by the way, can also be Philip, who have been guided by the Spirit to go and teach somebody else. You have had your learning. You know enough. It may well be time that some of you take up the responsibility of teaching others what you know of Scripture. And begin with what you know and begin with how you understand things and go from there. We don't need to know everything to start to teach. This then also becomes another rhythm of abiding with Jesus. When we abide with one another and share with one another what we know and what we understand and what we have learned of Jesus. When we are in the company of disciples and choose to deliberately listen to one another, knowing that within our hearts and our souls, God has blessed us with a rich wisdom of relationship. when we listen to how the Spirit is calling us to be with this person or that person, to ask this question or that, to baptize and be baptized, and then go on about our business. This is abiding with Jesus. To bear the fruit of God's kingdom in the timeliness of the season and not be caught on whether it is the fruit you expected of yourself. Oh, I didn't expect I'd be growing apples today. Well, I might grow some pear. No, not the point. What fruit is it that you are growing? It might not be the fruit that you expected to be growing. It might be not be the fruit that you wanted to grow. Why, God, why couldn't I have grown something more exotic like pawpaw? Don't take the symbolism too far. It just doesn't work. But don't get caught up in whether you're growing the right fruit. Don't get caught up in whether this is what you expect. What is it that God has expected of you? What fruit do you see in your life of God's kingdom? And grow that. This is abiding with Jesus, is to read Scripture with those of the faith and those yet beyond its fields, and trusting that if you are bearing fruit, you are being disciples of Jesus. Number one question I get, am I a good disciple of Jesus? Well, are you growing fruit? Well, yes, well, then you are. Move on. If you're bearing fruit, if you are the disciples of Jesus, you will be glorifying God. If you're glorifying God, you're growing fruit. One thing follows the other as sure as night follows day. This is abiding with Jesus. To be at home in his company and remain with him. And if you remain with him, you're his disciple. And you're growing fruit. And then you're glorifying God. And so you're obviously remaining with Jesus. And so on. We will come back to this again and find out that where we are is where we started. How does all this happen? Jesus says, come and see.